Welcome to the best of Come Follow Me. If you, like us, love to supplement your study of the doctrines of Christ found in the scriptures with Come Follow Me podcasts, then we hope this channel will be beneficial to you. There are just too many wonderful podcasts for one person to listen to. And if you always listen to the same one or two, you may be missing out. So we've listened to them all and we'll each recommend one to listen to this week.
Today we will have several brief segments, an overview, podcast highlights of the week, counterpoints, podcast joke of the week, comment of the week, and ponder of the week.
This week, the scripture curriculum is Mosiah 7 through 10. We follow Ammon discovering the people of King Limhi back in the land of Nephi. Then we go back to the first person account of Limhi's grandfather, Zenith. Is it Zenith or Zenith?
Don't know.
Okay.
By the way, it's Zenith.
But yeah, I just looked it up too. Is that what we both did?
Yep.
Then we go back to the first person account of Limhi's grandfather, Zenith, and learn about how he and his people settled the land of Nephi and defended themselves against the Lamanites. As we watched podcasts this week, we found a couple podcasts that had some really impressive timelines to help us understand the history of what we're learning about in these chapters. And so our two favorites come from Scripture Gems and Scripture Central. And we will have links to those timelines in our show notes.
For my highlight, I chose Scripture Insights with Taylor Halverson and Mike Harris. In Mosiah 10, 12 through 17, Zenith recites certain Lamanite traditions of their fathers. In that context, Taylor Halverson provides the following explanation of WR words like wroth and wronged. I'm going to play that clip now.
Anytime you see a WR word, like wraith or wreath, wronged, wrath, all that, the WR wrestle, all has to do with being twisted out of sorts. So they have been twisted. Instead of the straight path, they've been twisted into anger.
That spoke to me because I'm someone who sometimes at least chooses to get angry. This description of wrath as being a twisted state is sobering and a helpful reminder. Thinking about that, pondering on that, has already helped me resist the temptation to lose my temper, and I hope that it will continue to do so. I will include a link to an amazing story that Mike Harris tells about missionaries in the Middle East during 9/11. I promise that it will surprise you.
Okay. Yours actually leads into mine a little bit. I chose Talking Scripture this week, and towards the end of their podcast, they spoke about Lamanite blindness. Now, in a previous podcast, they had talked about a lot of the blindnesses that are present in the book of Mosiah. Okay, and then here's the clip.
They were always wronged, and that's when the blinders come on, is I'm being wronged. Now, this has a sound to it. You make this sound when you're feeling wrong. The sound is, huh-uh. And I can't tell you how many times I hear that in my home with my children.
I certainly never made that sound.
I like how they're talking about how as the Lamanites feel wronged, then they get mad and then they're going to act on it. And then it's just a perpetual continuance of anger and hatred and things that we'd like to stop, right? So one of the things that I love about listening to all these podcasts is that a lot of times they'll make it applicable, make the scriptures more applicable to my life, which is something that I need to work on. And so in here, they're talking about how do we each have Lamanite blindness? How are we each feeling wronged and then we get mad and then we act out on it? And they go into a lot of detail about that. So if that's something that interests you, you need to listen to their clip. There's a link below. And then also at the beginning of the podcast, there's a few really good stories about them talking about what to do when you need deliverance from God. And they just had some really good personal experiences with that.
The podcast I chose is so in line with that. So I chose Come Follow Up. And on this episode, they actually had a guest named Portia Lauder, who talked about her own spiritual and physical bondage. She actually spent 4.5 years in a federal prison for real estate fraud. And she talked about also struggling with addiction to painkillers. And one part that I thought was so beautiful is when she explained how she finally became free from her bondage. So let's take a look at how she describes this freedom.
Now, for me, it was total ownership, you know, and I, when I got to a place where I went, I did this. I hurt my kids. I hurt the people in my life. I'm 100% responsible for what happened here. As painful as that is, that's freedom. That's true freedom. And when I got real with that, and it took some time, I started seeing the world in a different way. That was freedom. That's the power of the atonement.
I really, really love her perspective. I've personally never been behind bars, but I've been in my own prisons, in my own spiritual prison through my own choices sometimes and through other people's choices. I've been imprisoned by fear, sometimes by withholding forgiveness, as we've talked earlier, sometimes by clinging to anger. And I think we can all relate to Sister Lauder and to the people of King Limhi who are in bondage. And so the questions I would invite you to ponder, what emotions come to mind when you think of bondage? What emotions come to mind when you think of freedom? One of the verses that came to my mind actually sends us back to 2 Nephi in chapter 26, 22, when Nephi teaches that Satan, quote, leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. And so from these examples, as we're likening the scriptures to us, Satan starts out with little temptations and gets us in little grievances, just those little sins or transgressions, and little by little he can bind us. I think we can all relate in our own way to the feelings of bondage and the longing for freedom from our spiritual chains that we're in sometimes.
There were a bunch of points made in different podcasts this week that we think are not supported by the scriptures. So we'll offer some counterpoints. At least one podcast claimed that Zenith, is that how we're saying it? Zenith unfairly stereotyped the Lamanites, generally speaking, in Messiah 9:12, when he called them lazy, idolatrous, and desirous to bring the Nephites into bondage.
However, Talking Scripture shares an ancient text that shows this was a common way to speak of one's enemies. We'll link that below.
Great. And I want to note, in the Book of Mormon scriptures, the report by Zenith is actually consistent with lots of different accounts. I got a short list. You have Enos's firsthand account of the Lamanites in Enos 1:20. The fact that Lamanites do take the Nephites into bondage in Messiah 19:26. The ongoing efforts of the Lamanites to take the Nephites in bondage in a lot of the Book of Alma and some of the Book of Helaman. Mormon's description of the Lamanites in Alma 17:14. Lamoni's treatment of his servants before Ammon's arrival. We see that in Alma 17:27. Lamoni's father, the things he said to Ammon, and then he tried to kill Ammon in Alma 20:14 through 16. You have anti-Nephi Lehi admitting that they had committed many murders. That's Alma 24:9 through 11. And lastly, Samuel Lamanite's description of the Lamanites in Helaman 15:4. These are all consistent with Zenith's description.
Yeah. Point two is, at least one podcast claimed that Zenith was unfairly characterizing King Laman as crafty and desirous to bring the people into bondage in Messiah 9:10. But that is exactly what the account shows us. Without provocation, the Lamanites attacked the Nephites in Mosiah 9:13 to 14, and again in Mosiah 10:19 through 20.
Okay, third. At least one podcast claimed that Zenith should have just talked to the Lamanites, and that would have avoided the war. Unfortunately, there are circumstances where discussions do not resolve conflict. These may not be common circumstances to people born in certain countries today, but they certainly have occurred historically. We can all think of examples, and they do occur in parts of the world today. One good scripture example is the story of Captain Moroni and Zarahemla. This is Alma 44. Here we see a battle. Captain Moroni and the Nephites are winning. Moroni stops the battle in order to negotiate with Zarahemla, the Lamanite leader. Zarahemla chose to resume fighting rather than enter into an oath that he wouldn't take up arms again. Only later, when the Lamanites were about to be destroyed, did Zarahemla agree to the oath. So here we have an example. Moroni was willing to talk, even stopped winning to talk, but that talk did not end the violence because the other party didn't want to.
Yeah.
At least one podcast asserted that Eve and Adam's response to God about partaking of the fruit in Genesis 3:11-13 or Moses 4:17-19 is an instance of rationalization. But that's not how I read that account. I read it as Adam and Eve being completely childlike and honest with God about what had happened.
At least one podcast claimed that Jacob thought his fellow Nephites were being racist against the Lamanites. We don't have the time here or probably the expertise to sort through these issues in this brief podcast, but we'll link to three podcasts that do discuss it at length, and here's a brief clip from one of them.
Again, I think that sometimes we can get caught in this malaise of trying to impose something on the text that wasn't there originally. I've actually never met anybody personally that studies the ancient context of the Cain story or the Ham story or these stories where we claim sometimes that there's a discrimination factor here or a misogyny. That wasn't the intent. You can't come to that conclusion when you approach it from the ancient perspective.
You know, this point about prejudice and the points about Adam and Eve and solving all problems by talking demonstrate a broader concern. There's a danger of imposing our worldview or our circumstances or our personal experiences on the scriptures, thereby reading into the scriptures things that are not actually there. The scriptures are the word of God. As we apply them to our lives, they help us change to become more like Jesus Christ. But we don't want to get that backwards. Otherwise, we might find ourselves instead imposing our lives on the scriptures and thereby changing the scriptures to become more like us.
Okay, now for the comment of the week. This comes to us from You Can Build This. It reads, "So in a nutshell, what does having a remission of your sins mean? We all agreed to try and give an answer in three words or less."
The remission of sins is the pardoning of my voluntary departure from God, which is obtained only when I have done my best to return to God. And it is through the atonement of Jesus Christ only that I can receive that pardon.
Sounds like more than three words.
Well, I'm going to say that it is peace of conscience. Three words.
Three words. Exceedingly great joy.
Oh, I've got one.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
Are you serious? Okay.
That's four.
We have a joke of the week, which won't be as funny as that segment. Joke of the week. This is from Scripture Central from 4 years ago. We mentioned them earlier. We're going to link to their map. And among other excellent things in this episode, Tyler Griffin shares the following joke.
Just a really, really quick tangent, a quick side note. And by the way, it's okay to take tangents, because if you don't, you're going to just end up talking in circles. Now, that's just a little geometry joke for some of you out there.
This week's point to ponder. In what ways might I find myself in spiritual bondage? What can I do to draw closer to the Lord and loosen Satan's grasp?
That's it for today's podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please let us know in the comments your thoughts, good or bad, on this week's podcast. Next week, we'll cover Mosiah 11-17. We look forward to you joining us again on the best of Come Follow Me.